The inaugural episode of 2020, a new decade, Johnny.
We're doing it.
Let's talk about that.
What a wonderful time to be alive for a few more minutes.
Oh, my goodness. The world does feel like it's sort of going up
in
flames.
We're teetering on the edge of global whatever.
It's whatever.
There's a lot going on.
There is a lot going on. There's movement in the Middle East. That's one way to put it. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, actually things are, I mean, I know we have fun on this podcast.
Not anymore.
But yeah,
it's time to, we're into, this is the McLaughlin group now.
Pat Buchanan, tell me.
There are things happening. So yes, we'll continue to keep an eye on those, but let's not open with those, Johnny.
It's too late. It's fine. No, I don't want to know. We don't even know what's going on. So why would we have opinions?
Well, we just, yeah. You know what? We can at least say that, especially our friends in the military. I know some of them have been mustered up.
Yeah, redeployed.
And, yeah, so we'll actually, you know, let them know we're praying for them. And
did you say mustered up?
Mustered up. Isn't that?
This is why you're not.
Isn't that what it is?
We need to remuster these guys. What did you say, General? Muster them. Do it. That's not how it works at all. I think General Patton once said that.
Isn't it muster them up? I know you can be up to muster.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I apologize for butchering military. You know, we're talking about that, by the way. So I told you at lunch that I had a sort of a funny thing I was writing because it happens to me all the time. And yeah. He told me it was already somebody else's
already
bit.
A Brian Regan bit.
So I had like this brilliant parallel thought
or
process.
Or it could be what's called, this is a comedy term that I discovered last year, a couple years ago.
Implantation?
In essence, it is. Yeah. It's called cryptomnesia. Which means you hear an original thought, and then you laugh at it, or it goes into your head, and then it dies, and then you think of it, but you think that you thought it. You think of it years later, but you think that you thought it. It seems like an original idea, but really it came from the seed of that other idea.
Well, the reason I know it's not, what is it called, cryptomnesia?
Cryptomnesia.
Cryptum?
Cryptum.
Cryptum. Dang near killed him. Anyway, no, the reason I know it's not that is this happens to me all the time. That's
but you are a Brian
me.
Regan fan, so it could have happened.
No, that's what I'm saying. I was like on the phone last week and it happened.
No, but I'm saying this particular bit is a very popular Brian Regan bit.
I'm actually not. I am a Brian Regan fan.
Yeah.
I've never sat and watched the whole Brian Regan special.
But this is a clip that you might have passed. I might have sent it to you, is what I'm saying.
I don't think so.
I think there's a good chance you stole from Brian Regan. And
I did not.
You're going to be hearing from his lawyers.
I did not. So the thing was, for the listener, like every time I'm on the phone with someone, like the credit card company or the bank or somebody, you know, and they're like, well, can you read me back or can you spell that confirmation code, you know? And I'm like, oh, man, I don't do military.
Right.
The vernacular. What do you call that?
Tango Foxtrot.
Yeah, but there's a name for it.
Oh, I don't know.
I don't even know the name for it. You know what I'm saying? That's how far off of it. So I'm always like, it's like P is in, and you think of ridiculous things, you know?
Yeah.
It's like.
Because I think the one is like, they always say P is in Paul.
Yeah.
V is in Victor.
What is it? Alpha?
What is W? W is in.
I'm always like, you know, D. Mm-hmm. I mean, D again. D is in dog. You can do
D
that.
D is in dog.
But I just feel dumb every time I talk, especially the Southwest people.
You feel
people.
D as in dumb.
D as in dumb. And then you tell me. I was gonna like,
right.
Expand that and make something funny.
Yeah, Brian Regan did it in 1991.
I wasn't even born in 1991.
But those clips, I'm telling you.
That's not true.
You weren't even born. You are younger than me, though.
I am, significantly.
5 years?
Yeah, I just turned 41.
I think you're the kind of person that people assume is older because you think you have more wisdom.
You think so?
Yeah.
I thought you said it was going to be because of the way I look. So people assume you're older because you're hideous.
My brother, so I go to a Christmas party for my brother's group home that he runs and I sang Christmas carols with the guys and they open presents, all the group home guys. And the staff is all there. And he walks over to, he's eating with me and he goes, my staff is all like, because he has a beard and he has a full beard now.
Oh, wow.
And it's really gray. Like he's Liz Gray. Grow in, and I dye my hair sometimes. Like I still color my hair sometimes, and I've lost a bunch of weight this year. And so my brother was like, my whole staff's just like, if you're twins, how does your brother look so much younger than you? And he's just like, I don't know, maybe because I don't color my hair. Like he really got defensive and like just had to like rail me. So he basically told the whole. And now I'm saying it on the podcast, but I've told you guys on the podcast before. Sometimes I put a little just for men in.
That's fine.
I'm not ready to get old yet.
It's fine.
Sometimes I let it go like too long though, and then it's like, oh boy, now when I do it, it's going to be drastic.
It's
going to
be obvious.
Yeah, it's going to be really drastic. That's your fear. Is that people are like, well, that guy's insecure, and I am insecure in a lot of ways. That's only one of the ways.
I don't know if putting a little Just for Men in your hair is really like a big
sign. It doesn't color all the gray out. There's still some gray that it leaves, so it's kind of not drastic. Yeah. Like as if I went and just said, give me brown, and it's just boom, and it's.
I mean,
it's
the
like
idea that you do anything to yourself though. You know,
everybody's fighting looking older. Everybody wants to look their best.
Where's the limit? You know, like, oh, should I just not ever buy a shirt that I like because it's just a cloth? You know, like,
yeah.
I mean, you
what
know,
are you, what are you trying to prove? With
what
that?
Are you brushing your hair for? What are you brushing your teeth
yeah,
for?
Yeah, that's know? True.
What are you
We're
trimming your
fighting,
eyebrows for?
But it is a perception thing, and part of it too is the business I'm in. I feel like, for instance, I still do a lot of youth events, so I think if a kid looks up on stage and sees me with, I look like his dad,
right.
There's a disconnect that happens there, and no matter how funny I am, it's like, well, he's an old guy. These are dad jokes.
Yeah.
So I have a little bit of that in the back of my head where I was like, well, if I ever stop doing youth events, I'll probably let... I always tell Curry, I'll get old when I pay off the house. I promise I'm going to get old.
Yeah.
Just let me pay off the house first.
Yeah.
And I feel like this... Your opportunities are limited sometimes. Like, for instance, if you're in a rock band, that's a young man's game for sure.
Mm.
Unless you're an established band. Like, if you're Aerosmith, you don't have to worry about it. You can get old.
Mm.
But if you're just starting out and you're like, we're going to be a rock band, like, it's a very young man's game. So comedy's not necessarily a young man's game, but if you're going to do certain markets, like if I'm going to do youth events, it's important for me not to be a gray-headed dude up there. To me. Now, maybe it wouldn't matter at all, but I'd feel like it would.
Yeah. No, I mean, you know, I get it. And I think it's fine. I think that perception is important. And
yeah.
Johnny, we all accept you here on Talk About
Thank
That.
Thank you, John. For, I feel it.
Yeah.
I feel that level of acceptance. I don't know. It's weird. And again, I'm very vulnerable about it because I tell on myself. Yeah. I probably have jokes on stage about getting, I mean, I have jokes about getting older, but I don't ever say like, and here's what I do to, so you don't think I'm old. But I've told enough people on enough podcasts that I'd color my hair.
People
sometimes.
Know it
The
now.
People know it.
It's official.
It should just be, yeah.
It's official. In case you guys didn't know.
So, but my brother turned prematurely gray.
Mm-hmm.
Like in his, like he was probably in his early 30s when his hair started getting real salt and pepper. So he basically has like almost white hair.
Yeah.
And he just never, you know, so yeah, when the beard comes in, it's like a white beard.
I never understand how one man's old hair issue is that when in his early 30s, it just falls out and another
and
turns
just,
gray.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, I would have been okay with that trade.
You'd have been okay with
taking the gray hair and keeping the hair. Although, I'll be honest with you.
I think you look good. Yeah.
This is so much easier. My life is so much easier.
Oh, yeah, it would have to be.
Oh, my goodness.
Do you trim it? You just use the trimmers?
Oh, yeah. I actually, for Christmas, my mother-in-law,
so you don't go get haircuts at all? You do it
no.
all yourself?
No, I just got cordless trimmers because I have to run an extension cord all the way in and I do it
what
in the shower.
What about the ones that have the little vacuum attachment? Have you seen those? They suck
what
all
they
the little...
What do you call those?
The vacuum trim.
They had a... They had one called the Suck
Cut.
Oh,
you're thinking the Flo-Bi.
They had a Flo-Bi and a Suck Cut, I think.
No, Suck Cut was what Wayne's World called it.
Was it?
It's sucking my will to live. Like,
I just had,
puts it on Garth.
I just had cryptomnesia.
You had cryptomnesia.
Yeah. Yeah, oh, my goodness.
Cut.
You know, speak in all seriousness, when you speak about being old,
uh-huh.
I'm really doing something. So I have, number one, my grandmother is 87, 88.
And you're like, that's enough.
And she is like so full of energy and spunk and always has been.
Yeah.
Like she has more energy than a lot of 60-year-olds that I know. Like she just, and it's really.
What's the secret? When you ask old people, sometimes they'll be like, I drink a Dr. Pepper every day. Like, man, that was the
that
thing?
Was the whole time.
That seems like just another factor. It's not the factor, but.
Well, it's motor. I think is what it is for her. It's a, here's one thing.
Like purpose.
You were never going to call her old.
Like okay.
She rails against old people.
Yeah.
Like when she was, she was like 80. I talked to her and she'd be like, these people walk around acting like they're old and they should be put out the pasture. And so it's like, it gets her. She has tried to stay in this motion. I know physical things can happen.
Yeah.
Actually, she had a little stroke and had some after effects. And kind of just, they gave her meds and everything, and she kind of just refused to accept it and just kind of went back to normal. I mean,
man.
It was obviously not as severe as it could have been.
Right.
But from her, and there's a book I'm writing with a gentleman who's in his late 80s, and very similar, he goes to the office every day.
Keep your mind engaged in
phenomenal.
Something.
Phenomenal. I mean, he's mm-hmm. so sharp. He can tell you, like, he's like, he, when we're writing his story and his family story, it's not just like, oh, I think it was back in 1962. He'd be like, it was a Tuesday.
Yeah, he knows the days.
It was like June the 7th. And he'll like tell you what time in the morning and what he had to eat. And I'm just like, oh my goodness. And I realized in my early 30s, I started joking about getting old. Because we do that. People hit 30. Some people freak out. And all of you listeners who are younger, I don't know if it's still this way in your generation, but people in mine would freak out about 30. I mean, people would have like early midlife crises over it. Oh my goodness, it's 30, you know. And like, right. I realized that I would joke like, well, you know, I'm getting older. And then I thought, I don't know, just in the last year or two, I've said to my wife over and over again, we stop joking about being old. We just stop doing it. I want to be like grandma. I'm going to just assume. I mean, because
it's just a number, John.
It is. Well, and look, if God decides that my life needs to be shorter than that, that's fine. But as long as I'm here, I do know this. Thinking I'm old makes me want to go out and run less. It makes me want to try.
Well,
it's like
a built-in excuse. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
Well, I'm getting old. I'm going to forget things. It's like, no, just try to remember better, or try to purposefully, you know, find ways to help you remember things better.
Yeah. I mean, eat better and do things differently. I think I remember, we're talking about remembering names at lunch today, you know, trying to really pay attention. I mean, just
it's
not
the worst.
Yeah.
It's hard for me too. And for you too, cause you're on stage a lot. So people remember your name. It's, you know, you introduce yourself to 200 people in a church service. Mm-hmm. They're going to remember you. You said it over the microphone, and then they come up to you and you're like,
man.
I feel terrible. Because it matters. It really does. Because when somebody remembers my name, I remember, I do. There's a feeling you get like oh, I matter to this person. Yeah.
You're like, hey, bro.
Hey, dude.
Stud. Bud.
Did you say stud? What's up, stud?
Vixen? I don't know. You just, you know.
Remember when, I can't remember where it was, when we were in the band and some guy was like, what's up, Biggs? Like somebody called me Biggs one time and then you guys called me Biggs forever. What's up, Biggs? John, Brian, Biggs.
Biggs has become, I still say Biggs all the time, but it'll be like when I'm driving and I'm kind of, I don't have road rage anymore, but I still have kind of like, I'm still can be, you know, a little edgy.
I guess, it's road rage.
Sharp tongued.
Oh, boy.
But out of fun, you know, we're like, all right, there, Biggs. Yeah. Like when somebody pulls in front of me, you know, and it just.
I've inherited. You know, you call them by their name. Oh, Mr. Subaru doesn't need to signal.
I call them by their license plate usually.
Oh, really?
Oh, by what are you doing there, Idaho? Yeah, I do it all the time.
So you impugn an entire state.
Absolutely. I can see why this is happening.
It could be a rental car. He's like, this is the one they gave me. Leave me alone.
When most of the license plates are around here in Tennessee, so I don't do that for them. I don't know what I do for them. Maybe I do the name of the car. I don't know.
What's up, Volvo?
I don't do a lot of it anymore. Just again, the main reason was Sadie started doing it at a very young age. Like, oh my gosh, I can't believe this idiot.
Oh, and you realize,
like, oh,
this
what
is
have
a
I done? I wonder where she heard that.
Be careful, little eyes, what you see.
Mm-mm-mm-mm-mm. Isn't it true, though?
You have damaged her in numerous ways.
Well, again, Laura always says we want her therapy payments to be manageable. Like, we're not saying we don't want her to have it. We just want her to be, like, not so much that she can't afford it, you know, kind of thing.
Yeah, I always think, I used to say that. I'd say, like, I grew up with a photographic memory, so I know exactly what to tell the therapist. Like, the detail that I can give the therapist is incredible.
By the way, for all of you listeners, I think therapy's great. I really do, and I think everybody should talk to somebody. I think it's awesome. So we're not impugning.
Maybe that's what this is for us, John.
And there's no doubt that it is. Well, I'm a verbal processor, so... Mm-hmm. It's like some things aren't real for me until I write them down or I say them out loud. Like, they're real, but I can't work them out just in my head. Uh-huh. They have to be out.
Yeah, I think when I started comedy, that's one of the things that a benefit that I did not count on. Like, I don't really care for comics who'd say, like, this is my therapy up here. And they don't have real jokes. They're just kind of venting on an audience. You're like, this should be thought out more before you do this. But I do think that saying something, maybe sometimes it even comes from a place of pain. We talked about that a couple episodes ago, like, there are things that I would have, in my childhood, I would have hid for years. And I've hid things for decades. I don't want this to ever get out. An embarrassing thing. And then now those are the things I mine for humor.
Yeah.
So, but I do think there's something to that. That I've, once I say it out loud, it's like I took the power from it away to hurt me anymore.
Sure.
And so, there's something to that for sure.
Yeah, and I think sometimes I don't know. I forget who said that, but. Almost like I'm not real sure what I think about it until I've finished expressing myself.
Yeah, yeah.
Like I know I had these internal thoughts, but and I find that when I speak.
When you have to defend a position, you're like, oh, I have that position.
Yeah. You find out kind of how you really feel about it a little bit. And that's dangerous. You don't want to do that publicly. You know, but that's why it's speaking with friends and smaller groups. But there are oftentimes in a message, because we'll do a run through and then we'll do a first service with our volunteers.
Yeah.
And I'll always ask the volunteers even like, hey, before we do the bigger service, you know, what did you, you know, and they'll, well, this part impacted me or this part needs a correction. And I'll tell them like, well, neither one of those were in my notes. It happens all the time. Like,
oh, right.
Like it's a little different. Something keeps coming out. It seems like every time, but I don't know it till I say it, you know, kind of thing. But
yeah, I mean, I think too, I think it's interesting you do the run through thing. That's kind of like your open mic.
Mm-hmm.
You're doing an open mic. Because it's usually only a few people there, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's a staff, and we invite other people.
Anybody. It is. It's exactly like an open mic, because open mics are mostly other comics.
Yeah. We did this morning.
So it's like you're there trying to – you're not really trying to impress anybody. You're trying to say things out loud. But if you do get a big laugh at an open mic, it definitely is like, okay, if it's funny here,
right,
it'll probably work for everybody else.
Well, and like last week, I was speaking on Sunday the 29th, and we didn't have a run-through because it was the holidays. Everybody was traveling and everything. So that morning after the first service, I went over with the volunteers who were going down to work in the children's ministries and stuff. But Andrew pulled me aside because he was like, I got, because he and I are very much engaged in each other's on this because we're the main two speakers. And man, it was so helpful. I felt like my second service was so much better. I went into a whole like historical thing, and I knew it when I wrote it. Because it was just interesting to me, and I was studying. I was speaking on the wise men.
Yeah.
Because, you know, were you there?
I was there.
You were there. And you, I meant to speak with you afterwards, and I was talking. And
John,
I'm sorry.
You get inundated with a lot of people.
I was actually
way more important.
I was actually
going
to see if y'all wanted to go to lunch that day, but
I thought that
and
too.
You were,
we did. I did go to lunch with some other people, and you would have been totally welcome to come along.
Well, we were going to eat something quick, like because we had to. We went to
it's fine,
Firehouse.
You have enough lunch with me. It's fine.
We do have lunch a lot.
We don't need to break bread on Sundays.
You know, you used to pay for lunch sometimes, and now I realize we don't do that at all.
Well, here's
anymore.
What happens. Here's the thing that my buddy Brian told me, and it made sense to me. This was a couple of years
ago. Brian's the reason you stopped paying for my lunch.
Because here's what happens. When friends pay for each other's lunch, you forget who its turn it is.
Why does it need to be turns? I just like paying for your lunch.
No, I do it too, but I'm saying like then you might feel obligated. It's better just to go ahead and get separate checks.
Yeah, I don't know. Man.
But I should have bought your lunch today because it was your birthday lunch.
No. My dad always bought everybody's lunch, you know?
Uh-huh.
And I just like doing it. But since you saw you now, when he walks up, you're like, separate. Like, before I can get it out. So, you know what? Today he asked and I said separate. You've now removed generosity and my blessing. So, and I wanted to come to the airwaves.
I think there's other blood. If you want to buy my lunch, it's totally fine. Like the thing is obligation. Like it's the same with Christmas presents. Like if you get somebody a Christmas present and they didn't get you a Christmas present, then there's this weirdness that's created by it. You know what I mean?
Do you want to talk about
it? No, we don't have to talk about it.
So I got Johnny a Christmas present.
Now sometimes we buy presents for each other, and sometimes we don't.
Sometimes we don't. There's no rule for us.
There's no rule.
And I don't really.
I'll buy you presents throughout the year. Like if I go, oh, John would love this.
I don't really care. Like, you know, didn't I buy you a book this year for something?
I think you did.
Yeah. Like, here's the deal. It just doesn't, if you and I want something.
John got me, if we want something, we just go get it.
Yeah. I don't
so
need,
we're very hard
yeah.
to shop for.
Yeah. But I got you, I got a couple of my friends, something we talked about on the podcast a lot.
Red headlamp.
I bought you a red headlamp.
So this is going to be great for all the spelunking.
It's a very small gift, no big deal.
And
so,
it didn't have batteries in it.
But I thought you had gotten me a present, too, even though I'd already bought this for you.
Well, here's the thing. The present you thought I got you.
I thought you just sent me cash.
Why would I send you cash?
I don't know.
I Venmo'd John $75.
No, it wasn't Venmo. It was Square
cash,
which
app.
I didn't even have that app. I had to go. I had it, but I wasn't logged in. I had to go figure out a new
you
login.
You had a name? Okay.
Yeah. I got it.
At any rate. I gave you that because
actually, I haven't got it. I forgot about it. It's still in there.
It's John.
I'll go transfer it right now.
Here's the deal. I bought five of your books to give to my family members for Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, oh, I've got some at home. And you brought them and you're like, you can just have these. And I go, no, I'm going to get, what do the books cost? And it said $14.99 on the back of the book. So that's what I gave you.
Oh, well, you paid full price.
I paid full price.
You know, I
paid more than full price, really.
Why?
You owe me 5 cents.
Listen, man, I told you just to take those books.
But I didn't want to do that. I wanted to buy people things from people. I wanted to buy, like, artisanal things from people who made them so I can help and get Christmas presents.
Well, I appreciate that.
So you should have expected the $75, but when you got it, you thought, Johnny gave me $75 cash for Christmas. I'm going to get him a $12 headlamp. That's when the exchange rate hurts you.
Okay, full disclosure.
Okay.
I mean, the headlamp was already bought.
Oh, wow.
All right, but have you looked inside?
You re-gifted the headlamp.
No.
Looked inside what, the headlamp?
No, with the bag I put it in.
No.
There's a gift card in there. I did add that after the fact. Okay. Not to match the $75, but to think, well, now this is not enough for the $75.
So see, now I'm on the hook to get you something to match what you got me bought you book.
I'll just take the gift card back, and you keep the headlamp, because it was just that's just a small token.
You're going to take the gift card back?
You didn't even know you had it. Do you know you have it?
I do now.
You didn't even look in the bag. You didn't care about the bag enough to look inside.
I thought the weight of what was in it was what it was. I didn't know. Man, that'll preach.
Sometimes
God gives you something and you're like, oh, thank you. But you didn't even know there's another nugget.
Well, it's like that
a gift card from on high.
Remember Ron Soderbergh who gave me all those books at my wedding?
No.
So Ron gave me all these books for my wedding. And of course, I don't have time to read. You know, I
mean,
I was going to school, my goodness, reading. And like 3 years later, I'm going pick up one of the books and I drop it or whatever, and a $20 bill falls out.
Bro.
And I start going through all the books, and he had stuffed money in all the pages.
Every book
had money in it. So if you read it, you found the treasure. If you didn't, you didn't. Now
that is something, man.
That's what
I need to start doing to people.
What I did was
like a treasure hunt.
Once I knew there was the possibility.
You went through every book.
I just went through every book, and I still didn't read them. But it was a kind gesture. To get me, what a great sermon illustration. But they don't always work in real life, Johnny.
That's true. You can. Sometimes the metaphor is stretched thin.
Oh, my goodness.
Are we the money? Are we the book? I don't know.
Yeah. Well, Andrew read a scripture this morning in his run-through that was the only thing sometimes we have lively discussion about it. He was reading, it was this great scripture about God says to Israel in like Deuteronomy, look, you're just a worm and you need me, basically. I will help you through all these things kind of thing. And I was like, is there a significance to using the scripture about the worm? Like, you know, I was like, because it almost sounds like, because worm in the modern connotation, like, I don't know, was he correcting them? And so he's like, well, you know, I really like the way he said, I will help you. The worm's really not as important to me. I was like, the worm is all I heard.
Yeah, you know, because God called you a worm.
Right, that's all I got. It's so funny how people hear different things. It's like, yeah, but then God explicitly said, I will be there to help you. And I wanted that line. I was like, well, he's like, but it's hard to give a lot of context because it's right in the middle of Deuteronomy, Levitical law.
Yeah,
you know?
What does worm mean?
I was like, man, I think I could find another scripture.
Of that.
So I gave him other scriptures like, maybe you should use this one where God will help you. And he was like, yeah, but it doesn't say it like this, you know. And so it was these giant.
Maybe worm's not lowly to God. God made the worm.
I think God was correcting Israel when he said
that. I can do the worm. Is that?
I'd like to see that.
Worms have 10 hearts, right? Don't worms have like multiple hearts?
I don't know.
I think they have 10 hearts.
Do they have a heart at all?
That's what I'm saying is maybe that's what he's meaning. Like, I'll give you 10 hearts.
Are they, what are they? Reptiles?
Oh, man. I don't know.
Oh, my goodness.
Cephalop.
Are they insects or are they?
No, they're not insects because they're.
How do you know?
They're not reptiles.
Oh, my goodness. There's somebody right now, and this is what I love
when
I hear from listeners that go, oh, my
gosh.
What
is a worm?
This was the thing. You were the eschatologist.
I want to speak about.
Now someone else is freaking out because I said eschatologist instead of. It's entomologist. We know that, everybody.
Well, I don't know. Does entomology fall? Would the worms fall under entomology?
Well,
probably.
No, but an entomologist would know that they don't. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I mean, entomologists who do forensic entomology, they study worms and things that appear on bodies
and
after
how
maggots.
How worms committed crimes against other worms.
Because.
Forensic.
Right.
Entomology.
It'd be a heck of a heart transplant if they really do have 10 hearts.
You're
we got 8 and then he's gone. We didn't get, be tough.
CSI Red Dirt.
Yeah.
Trying to,
I don't know. Something
about pudding. Jello. No, I don't know. It was fine. But point being.
Yeah.
We sharpen each other, and there are ways that people look at different
things. Did he keep the worm in?
We're going to find out someday.
It's non-negotiable. He's
putting
that worm in.
I said, look, if you do it, just explain it. Maybe like the worm is helpless.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And God's saying, you're helpless, and I'm here to help you. But if that's not the context of that scripture in Deuteronomy, then don't say that. But if it's too much.
He's not going to be able to stop himself from saying, you guys are a bunch of worms. But God still loves you. When I look out here in this crowd, I see a bunch of worms.
What I see. Well, who was it? At the cross of the cross where I first saw the light.
Such a worm as I. That is a tough hymn.
Maybe he was quoting
like people
Deuteronomy.
That fight and say, like, that's an interesting thing, too. Like, we've talked about that before a little bit, probably, but the idea that, like, oh, the songs aren't like they used to be. They were so prosy and literate, and there was a lot of 50 Cent words in them, and now it's just, like, repeated. But the honest truth is, repeated words are a part of music throughout all culture, even pop music. Like, the people that say, it's all repeated words. Like, your favorite song has repeated words in it. You know, it's a very redundant. That's how you...
And the rhyme schemes...
That's what locks in.
The rhyme schemes were very redundant because back then you could say thee, which opened up much more than just you.
A lot of things rhyme with thee.
Absolutely. And so thee and me, I mean, half the songs are about thee and me between God and
thee and me
and
sounds
and
like
writer.
A marriage conference.
Thee and me.
Thee and me. A marriage encounter.
Yeah. So, I agree. Although, I mean, man, there are some. And coming out of the Christmas season, I mean... Come Thou Long Expected Jesus, man.
Mm-hmm.
What an unbelievable, like, just work of poetry. You know, I mean, I do believe the best songs are written, you know, at Advent or for Advent. But, and I do like old hymns. Laura and I are talking about old hymns and stuff because old hymns to us and some of our traditions are not old hymns. Like, I've written for some people who are of more liturgical,
You know, and they're more recent than you would have thought.
Well, no, a lot of them go way further back. Our hymns we grew up with, like in charismatic Pentecostal traditions, are more like late 1800s, and a lot of them all the way through 1930, 1940, like Fanny Crosby, you know, and people like that. And they're not songs that, but literally in our culture, we call them hymns. And then, but this is not what the friends I have now would call hymns.
Yeah.
Like hymns for them are going back to Isaac Watts, you know, like they're going way back. It's just a very fascinating definition of, I think a hymn by its definition is a type of song, how it's written.
Yeah.
I don't think it's it doesn't have to be old.
Yeah, you'd almost categorize it by four verses, by the amount of verses. And I would consider a song a hymn too if it was like, there's an old feel to a hymn in the wording, the verbiage of it.
Well, I know when I did some work with Keith Getty, who wrote In Christ Alone, you know, learned a lot because he teaches on this. Mm-hmm. And basically, hymns were for church always throughout church history. That's why the hymnal was always right there next to the Bible. It was Martin Luther that said, people hear what you preach, but they take home what you sing, is what he would say. So that's why Martin Luther was also a prolific hymnist, hymn writer. And
hymnal,
but
hymnist.
But that was the
it's like a gymnast, but way less athletic. Man, he nailed the landing on that.
Hymnist.
He's a hymnist.
Oh my goodness, sorry people. But the whole idea was singing together, and so it was all about my point is a hymn teaches theology in general. It teaches theology. The whole idea was that whatever we just taught you, we're going to sing now, and you'll be singing it tomorrow because the tune and the melody and all those things will remind you. So all the time you're singing these songs, you're reminding yourself and others of good theology, and so that was how people. And I think that there's a truth to the fact that the average Christian was much more well grounded in solid sound theology. In fact, there was one hymn that he talked about written by, I think an Irish preschool teacher or whatever. She was a pastor's wife, but was teaching little kids in the church. And the hymns that she was writing for them are now way too theologically deep for our adults to understand.
Yeah.
And they were for little kids, you know, back then. So the hymns were a way to deepen, even if you didn't understand everything you were singing, it gave you this solid foundation for what it was. So... Yeah, anyway. Wow, that was good. Good walk down historical lane, as they say.
No one's
ever said that.
No. So. We're the first ones.
So are you're traveling to Indiana tomorrow? Is this
Wabash?
Correct? Wabash. Do you remember the Wabash Cannonball at Opryland?
I remember the Wabash Cannonball that's a song, right?
No, there was a roller coaster.
No, but I'm saying the Wabash Cannonball is a it's a waltz,
right? But did you ever ride the Wabash Cannonball at Opryland?
No, I never went to Opryland.
I forget this. You were a Dollywood.
I grew up in Knoxville.
But y'all never made trips to Nashville.
Not to go to amusement parks.
Can I say something to the Nashville listeners and maybe to someone who's in power? Bring back Opryland USA. Like, guys,
I think they've decided on a mall.
I know they did.
That makes billions of dollars.
Johnny, so it does. But I guarantee you this. It would make a lot of money. Look, yeah. I'll put in 20 bucks.
I think it was making money when they closed it, wasn't it?
I'll help invest. How much you got?
Are you going to let all the animals out of the petting zoo again?
Listen,
if they bring it back?
That was a tragic accident.
Yeah.
And it was
let you in the park. Running amok.
One time I did let the... It wasn't really me. It was an older friend from church who was into some hijinks, and I was trying to come out of the petting zoo.
Do you want to say who it was?
And his name was Paul, oddly enough. Yeah. Okay. And so Paul was holding the door. I was like, let me out, man. No, no, no. And he held the door open and was kind of keeping me inside the petting zoo, and the door was open. And those, I'm telling you, man, I forget what they were.
Mm.
Deer or something.
Alpaca.
But man, they saw freedom.
Llamas.
And just went for it. I'll never forget that lady going, ah, like some lady screamed because she's being charged by a wild deer or something. So it was at a petting zoo. How wild could it be? I don't know.
That's true.
I don't know if they ever caught him or not, Johnny. Because here's
you
the
really
deal.
Don't know what happened.
Once the deer took off, we took off. You know, I was out of there. That was a good way to lose your season pass forever.
Oh, man.
My dad would drop us off at Opryland after church, because we had Sunday night church, and we would just go, we'd probably grab a burger or sandwich or something, drop us off, and then boom, we would stay all day. He'd pick us up at like 5, 5:30, and we'd be back to church that night. Opryland, USA. That was my childhood, man.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, I was a Silver Dollar City, and then it became Dollywood.
Mm.
Don't they still have
a Silver Dollar City somewhere?
Branson, Missouri area. Missouri area.
Yeah.
They were a chain. I didn't know at the time. You know, it's interesting when you grow up, you think things are everywhere.
Yeah.
And then they're just local. And then some things you're amazed and you're like, there's other.
Yeah.
Like when I grew up in Knoxville, I thought Buddy's Barbecue was everywhere.
It's only in Knoxville.
Yeah. Because there was like five of them. And I was like, oh, let's get Buddy's. And I would be in, you know, wherever, Arkansas. And they'd be like, what?
Wabash.
Yeah, I'd be in Wabash. Yeah, I'm going to Wabash 6 hours. Mm. Plus, you lose an hour.
Mm.
And the Titans play tomorrow night. So I'm going to miss part of the game because I have a gig.
Oh,
it's a
bummer. And it's a playoff game.
I know, man.
And I cannot believe it.
We're playing the Patriots.
Yeah, how do you feel about that?
I feel like this is our best chance to really disappoint the most amount of people. Because we have a better team than the Patriots this year.
Yeah. It's the first time in 10 years the Patriots.
But it's Bill Belichick.
Yeah.
Yeah, like Brady's not had a great year.
No. Well, they just got
beat. He's had a very average year. And, they could be with the Dolphins.
The Dolphins.
I think we could beat them. But it's Belichick. It's the playoffs. It's that when you go play there in the playoffs, it's worth another 7 points.
Yeah.
Just being there.
And you never know which version of the Titans are going to show up.
It's going to be cold. It's just a whole thing.
I will say Tannehill, I mean...
He had the number one passer rating in the league. Percentage or whatever?
And, no, I...
Hair? I don't know. Best hair?
Derrick Henry. Sorry,
oh, yeah.
I've lost my name for
a second.
Led
the league in rushing.
Yeah, I mean, he broke the rushing title. Or earned...
John, we'll edit this out.
Guys, I want to be a sports
you
commentator.
You want to talk good?
Speaking of sports, by the way, and we won't go far down this hole,
we don't
but
need
it's
to.
Worthwhile... To say that the Vols pulled off, and I don't even know how to describe
it. It was a frustrating game to watch. We were talking about it, how when they finally pulled it off, we weren't even like elated. We were just like, well, why didn't you just play this way the whole game?
Yeah, it's very...
You're like mad still.
Yeah, it made me so mad throughout the game. Yeah, I feel bad. I'm really glad we won, but it wasn't like a... It wasn't like a, like, oh my gosh, the greatest win of all time. It was really like
a... It was
a
pretty great comeback, though.
It was, and I'm so supportive.
We scored 14 unanswered in the last 5 minutes of the game.
And we scored it.
To win it.
We actually scored all that. Okay, it was 4:30.
And then they missed a field goal as well that would have taken the lead.
At 4:30, we were down by 13.
Yeah.
That's when we scored the first time. And then we scored a whole nother one. That onside kick, I will say, is the best executed onside
kick
I've maybe ever seen. In fact, he could have kept running.
Mm-hmm.
He could have not even fallen on the ball. Eric Gray, man, that ball. But that kicker, I mean, you could not have done it any better.
He was the MVP, him and Eric Gray.
Yeah. I think that, and they asked Coach Pruitt, and he said they practiced that multiple times every day. So that always makes you feel better when they're like, you know. Because onside kick, I don't know if you guys know this, but a football is oblong.
Right. You never know what it's going to do.
It bounces different directions. So he did a good job.
Yeah.
It was good. But no, I'm really happy they won. I would not have believed after losing the first two that we would have gone 8-5.
We are going to be the greatest team that's ever been assembled next year.
We can at least say this because we'll find out if he's listening or not. But next year we play Oklahoma.
Oh, yeah.
In Oklahoma. And so that'll be a game for me, you,
road
and,
trip.
And Dane.
Oh, you
I don't
want
to go to Oklahoma.
It's Norman. You know what? It's so beautiful.
Guys,
there.
No offense to my Oklahoma listeners, but
so lovely
in
Norman.
I don't want to drive through that area to go to a game. I just don't.
Well, fly right in, John. Well, you're making that book money now.
Am I?
You're buying headlamps for people.
That headlamp took up a lot of the book money.
Sheesh.
But anyway, that'll be a good game with Dane and friends. You know what I'm saying? For us to
Dane and the bunch.
Dane and friends. Because Dane's from Oklahoma, in case you don't know.
So he roots for the Sooners and the Vols.
And the Vols. And he will root for the Sooners, though, when we play each other.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. Which I don't think is right. I don't really understand why Dane thinks it's okay. Well, what makes you pick the state of your birth over the state
well,
of
it's just who he grew up
the majority
for.
Of your life?
It's locked in when you're a kid and you're rooting for somebody. It's locked in more.
Riddle me this. Was he born in Knoxville? Oh, my goodness, Dane. You have some splaining to do.
You do. If you were born in Knoxville and you're still rooting for the Sooners, that's just straight up.
Yeah.
That's not right.
It's time to make the change. You're at an age in life you can make the change. And there's a good chance you weren't born in Knoxville, so all this will be null and void. But I'm going to go ahead and say you should change over.
Change anyway.
Yeah. Why not?
Yeah. We're the only orange team. That's the best.
We're the only orange team?
Well, like that's our base color.
Clemson.
What? Oh, well, that's a different orange, though. That doesn't count.
Clemson's
we're the real orange.
Actually very close to
is
orange.
It really?
Yeah.
Never mind. They're pretty good.
There's no other orange team out there that's of
well,
any
I was
count.
Just thinking of like, well, the SEC, who's the SEC? Florida's, it's a secondary color.
Auburn.
Auburn's secondary color. Because theirs is like that navy blue. I don't know.
I'm going through.
We're boring everybody now.
No, it's fine. This is fascinating.
But you're right. Clemson is a closer. Texas is definitely not ours. It's the burnt
Texas,
orange.
The burnt like orange a, is... It really is. Like the
but
word.
It's a kind of orange that looks better if you wear it out. Like, you know what I'm saying? If you wear our orange, it's a very soft orange that's very like, boom, orange. A burnt orange looks, you can get away with it. Like, if I had a burnt orange blazer,
right,
you could wear it and look normal.
No, I
you
agree.
You can't wear, you can't, like, if you need to see the old coaches that wear the orange pants, they look like a clown show.
Yeah.
It's a very
yeah no, and
looking.
I don't. I usually when I go to a game or like it's almost I have gray things with orange logos on it, or I'll wear white. You know,
but yeah.
You do see there's a lot of especially Knoxville guys. Who
our
wore
fans,
the big
oh,
orange
man.
Like pullover, you know,
or the coveralls that are checkerboard. You
yes.
see those a lot. The overalls.
Yes,
there was a couple of like our fans don't film well.
Mm-mm. When not they last
cut,
night either.
When they cut to the crowd, it is a mass of humanity, and I was born in Knoxville. And I want to be proud of it. I swear I do.
You know what's funny?
We are a mess.
You sometimes. Just said that, by the way, and I thought that you had already told me that, but it was my wife that said those exact words last night while we were watching.
She
said, our fans don't film well.
They
and
don't.
The deal was, what I said is, you got to remember, this is a bowl game. So the only fans that are down there are the older ones who can afford to go.
Yeah.
This is not like student section shots. You know what I'm saying?
They packed a bag.
Did you?
And packed some of these outfits. And the white, the amount of Aquanet in some of these hairdos.
Did you see the Santa Claus?
Oh, of course. With the koozie that was an
he
elf.
He had a beer can.
Elf feet.
He had a beer can koozie.
It was a bottle.
With feet or bottle.
It was a bottle.
It was one of those metal bottles.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
It was in like half of a doll.
And basically, it had a doll legs come out the bottom as if like he was basically wearing one of those
baby, wearing it around his neck.
A baby harness.
Uh-huh.
Like, this is my baby. It's this beer.
And then
it had
he would pick it up and take a sip and let it hang after a while.
Yeah, it was like, and he was in a full orange and white.
And the announcer commented on it. He said, I got to get me one of those. He did. He loved it.
Orange and white Santa, by the way, on January the 2nd.
Yeah.
In Jacksonville, Florida. Nursing a beer koozie baby.
That's how you
in
get
a
on.
Harness.
That's how you get on television, John.
And we wonder where all the stereotypes about Tennessee comes from, guys. We could do better than this.
We can be better, and we will be.
Like wear a gray something with an orange tee on it. Be proud of the orange.
Like if you go into your GIF, sometimes you'll go into your like your GIF function on your and you'll just type in Vols. And the ones that are just fans reactions, they're never good. There's never one that's like.
That's because GIFs came along in the 2010s, Johnny.
Yeah, we're not.
And that
very,
decade has not.
It's a lot
been,
of people with their face in their hands.
Yes, that decade's not been kind to the Vols. But all the next decade will be better. I will just say this: I want to see painted faces and craziness in the student section.
Yeah,
I do. But I'm 41, and again, I'm not old. See previous conversation.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very young and active. But when I go to a game, like, I'm probably not going to paint my head. I'm just probably not going to do it. If it's not because I wouldn't want to.
God, you got that. It's so clean up there now. You could make a.
But I want to go out to a nice dinner afterwards. And I don't want to.
It washes
it'll be
off,
itching
John.
And stuff. You know what I'm saying?
No.
Like, I want to. I don't
this
know.
That's why you'll never be a pro wrestler
I'll
either.
Never be. I tried. I can't do it. Dane put into the staff text thread last night. Yeah. It was brilliant. It said, and if you're not a Tennessee fan, you don't understand that when we sing Rocky Top live, they say, good old Rocky Top, woo! And there's always a big woo.
Yeah.
And Dane put in there in all caps when we won, good old Rocky Top. And then he put a picture of Ric Flair
going woo.
Going wow! Like, and it was perfect. It was like, wow, he aligned that. Dane, I once again mention you. I call you out for the Oklahoma thing, but also applaud your efforts at memes. I thought that was very good.
John, it was great. It was a great victory, and we'll take it. And we got momentum going to the next season.
I don't know, Johnny.
You don't think that?
I think that
over?
A whole lot.
You don't think recruits watch that and go, "That's a winning program."
Well, with the early signing period, the recruiting there are more recruits that can come our way. We lost a 5-star. Well, we didn't lose it. We were in the running for a 5-star who chose Georgia yesterday.
What do you want to do that for? You're
why
not going
you to
get. You're not going to get playing time there. We got. We're wide open.
Well,
for you.
What's
come
crazy
on
is our graduate transfer Eli Wolf, who went from Tennessee to Georgia, didn't do much here. Like he's been a major
Eli
player.
Eli Wolf
them.
Sounds like a football player.
I know. We should have used him more.
It's like when I remember when the best Texas quarterback name ever was Colt McCoy.
Yes.
When you hear Colt McCoy, you're like, that guy plays football.
He does.
Or
yeah.
He's like a Texas Ranger.
Right. Like he's a
a
gunslinger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Look out for that guy,
Colt McCoy. I like Texas. I could see us living in Texas, Johnny.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
A few families, friends moved down to Texas. Is a great place. Where would you live in Texas?
Parts of Texas.
I like Texas, man.
There's a lot of remote areas of Texas.
I don't want to live in a remote area.
Well, there's a lot of those.
Well,
it's
yeah.
the biggest state.
Actually, I wouldn't mind living.
By landmass, isn't
perhaps,
it?
Perhaps. Oh.
Maybe California? What's the biggest state? It's got to be Texas, right?
Oh, man. Oh. Well, Alaska, obviously, but you're speaking continental.
Yeah. The 48.
Yeah. Is Texas bigger than California? Again, somebody's flipping out.
Well,
right
we
now.
Could Google it, but I don't want to start. We don't have a producer
right.
that
we're
can Google
it. We're using
these
our
for
brains.
Us. Yeah.
This is
I'm going to confidently say, yes, it's the biggest.
One of the reasons that I can remember more names is I don't Google everything anymore, you know? So, at any rate, if you were going to move to Texas, where would it be?
Probably Dallas.
You see, I like Dallas a
traffic
lot.
Traffic is a problem.
But the traffic is
but that's where
bit.
I have the most friends. I already have a lot of
yeah,
people that I know
in Dallas.
That I would already have like an infrastructure of people.
Yeah.
I could replace you is what I'm saying.
Yeah. You could replace me very easily.
I could
in
immediately start up a podcast yes. with
and,
somebody else.
And because they're from Texas, they'd be way more interesting. I just think people from Texas are interesting.
Do you think? There's a confidence to being
yes.
from Texas that bothers me a little bit.
I like it.
Do you?
I like it because they get stuff done. You know what I'm saying?
I don't think everybody from Texas gets stuff done, John.
And you know, listener, you might not be from Texas or Tennessee. It really doesn't matter. But we're so glad that you listened today and you
Johnny
were a part
segue.
Of our conversation. We ask you to share it and to go back and listen to old episodes. It's a great time of the year here as you're doing
oh,
all of your resolutions.
Yeah, you don't want to miss out.
Lots of things to enrich your life. If something did enrich your life, maybe share it with somebody that you know and tell them to listen to the whole thing and subscribe as well. But follow Johnny on socials. Follow me. We'll look forward to talking to you next time on
Talk About That.
Life Audio presents Bridges with Monica Schmelter.
That we have an enduring hope that can't be taken away when we are in Christ. And to know that we have that, right? And eternal salvation, because this world can be so busy and so dark that we can forget that.
Right.
Right? Because sometimes I get caught in the trappings of what's going on in my life this moment. And while I have to recognize that, that's not it.
Continue listening on lifeaudio.com or wherever you find your podcast.